Father in heaven, I thank you for the gifts that you give us in this world that remind us of your love. Even the song that we just heard. Father, I pray for forgiveness for the sins that we've sinned against you. And I praise you for your son's example. And I pray that we will fight to follow that example and show his love to all around. Father, I pray for those who have need of you right this moment, that you'll interact in their behalf, that you'll comfort or lead or direct right now where they need it. And I pray for the future that you'll continue to provide what is necessary for those to draw closer to you throughout this week. I pray for those who don't even know that they have need of you, that they'll be triggered to reach for you and to study about you and to grow closer to you. Father, I pray for Kevin as he preaches that you provide the words that we need to hear that will give us greater faith, that will give us a greater relationship for you, and out of that, that will give us greater love for those around us. I thank you again for the blessings you've given us, the small glimpses of heaven, even on earth, that you provide through your creation. And I pray that this draws us closer and keeps us focused on the path that you've set before us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The bulletin. Had I seen the bulletin before I put a title on it, I would have changed the title to my message. Really cool picture. The Lord is greater than the giants you face. It's just a really cool picture. Dead batteries? I'll stay here for a while. So how many of you have giants in your life today? What is a giant? Maybe it's our children's choices they've made that haven't necessarily been for the best. Maybe it's our family members who have strayed away. Does a giant have a hold of their lives? What about your job? Maybe your finances? Are there health issues? And I know this morning, especially for the Luisa family, there's a giant in your life. And I don't mean Sam, he's big, but I don't mean Sam. There's health issues. But no matter who you are or where you turn, there are giants in this land. trials. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not sure that that's something that I have mastered. I don't know how to be joyful when those trials come. It says, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Which is Jesus, that's fine. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you will find peace. In the world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 17:15 says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. God has already made a way for us to face the giants in our lives. The question isn't if there are giants. The question really is, what do we plan on doing with them? We all know the story of David. He's out taking care of his father's sheep. Dad says, come here, I need you to take some food to your brothers. When he gets there, they're all just standing around, and they're scared to death of the giant that is threatening them. David, being a man after God's own heart, you find that in Samuel 13:14, sees what's happening. He sees the giant. He hears what is going on, and he says, and this is my paraphrase, not in my God's land, you don't. He goes down, he grabs five stones. Interestingly enough, he grabs five stones. His intent was not only just for Goliath, but Goliath had four brothers. He was going to take them all out. But after he takes down Goliath, Goliath's brothers see what David did and they turn and they run. But they did not run from David. You see, David had something inside of him, and that's why they ran. Yeah, they saw who just took down their brother, but it was the presence of God displayed through this scrawny little kid. It's interesting to know when this occurred in David's life. We read in 1 Samuel 6:13 about David being chosen to be the next king. And a beautiful, beautiful passage. It says, the Lord came powerfully upon David. So how do you know? How do I know that I have a David inside of me? How do I become anointed by God in a powerful way? Simply put, God said it, and I believe it. Isaiah 46:3-4 says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to the old age, I am he, and even the gray hairs I will carry. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 145:18-19 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. David did not do anything special. God did. It wasn't David that killed the giant. It was the mighty power of God working through whoever would say, "Yes, Lord." It wasn't David that made the rest of the Philistines run away in fear. It was God. God had come mightily upon David, and David said, "Yes, Lord. Just show me what you want me to do." In the case of David and Goliath, it was David. God asked him, "Will you stand up for me? Will you stand, David, son of Jesse? Will you allow me to show the world that I am your God?" And David said, "Yes, Lord." So how do we find that kind of David inside of us? We don't. However, through Bible study and prayer, we have the opportunity to develop a deeper friendship with him. Some people call it a relationship. And it's the same God who will put into us the same power that worked through David. David allowed God to use him to defeat not only a giant, but a nation. Steps to Christ, page 93. Through nature and revelation, through his providence and by the influence of his Spirit, God speaks to us. But these are not enough. We need also to pour out our heart to him. In order to have spiritual life and energy, we must have actual relationship with our Heavenly Father. Our minds may be drawn towards him. We may meditate upon his words, his mercies, his blessings, but this is not enough. In the fullest sense, communing with him. In order to commune with God, we must have something to say to him concerning our actual life. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make us known to him, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to him. When Jesus was upon the earth, he taught his disciples how to pray. He directed them to present their daily needs before God and to cast all of their care upon him. And the assurance he gave them that their petitions should be heard is assurance also to us. Our Heavenly Father waits to bestow upon us the fullness of his blessing. It is our privilege to drink largely at the fountain of boundless love. What a wonder it is that we pray so little. God is ready and willing to hear the sincere prayer of the humblest of his children. And yet, there is so much manifest reluctance on our part to make known to God our wants. Your God, my God, he longs to work through us. And when he does, he removes not some of our fears, not some of the anxieties, but all of them. He gives us a spirit of trust and assurance. We serve a God of unimaginable strength and hope, so that we will, like David, stand before our giants and say with absolute confidence and assurance, "Get thee behind us, Satan, for it is written." Isaiah 41:10 again, and this is in the KWJ Revised Version, and if you don't know what that is, my name is Kevin Wayne Jepson. So this is my revised version of Isaiah 41:10. And I would encourage you, when you read the Bible, do exactly that. Put it into you, who you are, how God is meeting your need at that point. And it says, I will not be afraid of the giants in my life, for God is with me. I will not be shaken, for he is my God. My God will strengthen me. Yes, my God will help me. He is and will continue to hold me up with his righteous right hand. So what then does it look like when we are as strong as what we see in David? Steps to Christ again, this time from page 112. There is an evidence that is open to all. The most highly educated, the most illiterate. The evidence of experience. God invites us to prove ourselves the reality of his word, the truth of his promises. He bids us taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34:8. Instead of depending upon the word of another, we are to taste for ourselves. He declares, ask and you will receive, John 16:24. His promise will be fulfilled. They have never failed. They never can fail. As we draw near to Jesus and rejoice in the fullness of his love, our doubt and darkness will disappear in the light of his presence. The Apostle Paul says that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of Love, Colossians 1:13. And everyone who has passed from death to life is able to set to his seal that God is true, John 3:33. He can testify, I needed help and I found it in Jesus. Every want was supplied, the hunger of my soul was satisfied, and now the Bible is to me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you ask why I believe in Jesus? Because he is to me a divine Savior. Why do I believe the Bible? Because I have found it to be the voice of God to my soul. We have the witness in ourselves that the Bible is true, that Christ is the Son of God. We know that we are not following cunningly devised fables. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give with to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In John 15:11, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy, and we're talking God, that God's joy may remain in you. And that joy, your joy, may be full. So what about you? Have you faced any giants lately? Then praise God. That means he is working in you. Have you witnessed any giants being defeated? Then praise God. Sometimes these giants are defeated before we even have a chance to pray. Sometimes it's only after we pray. How many of you have seen miracles in your life or in the lives of someone close to you? I sure have. The older I get, the more I start to realize that what I have seen and have just brushed aside as just the way it happened. Yes, sometimes miracles are defeated giants. Then praise God. A few of mine that I would like to just tell you about. When I was about 4 years old, maybe five, we lived in Walla Walla. We were down at the river swimming because in July in Walla Walla, it gets hot. It gets stinking hot. So we were down at the river on a Sunday swimming. My dad was a good swimmer. but not what you would consider to be an excellent swimmer. He and my uncle swam across the river, and on the way back, they were getting tired, and my brother was floating around in an inner tube out a little ways, probably farther than he should. And so my dad swam over to him and told him, "Ken, just hold still. I'm just going to hang on to your inner tube," and we'll just... Well, Ken thought Dad wanted to climb on. So Ken pulled to the side of his inner tube. What happens when you lay on one side of an inner tube? And the inner tube goes straight up in the air. And as is the case on the Walla Walla area, the wind blows like constantly. The inner tube went up, the wind caught it, and it was gone. Ken did not swim. Dad is exhausted. What's a little boy do? He grabs his dad, and Dad went down with Ken. Being the father inside of him, he takes Ken and he throws him to the surface with everything he's got. Well, what happens when you try to throw something when you're in the water? It pushes you down. Dad was able to make it back to the top just in time for Ken to grab a hold of his neck again, and they went down again. He did the same thing. Threw him to the top. This happened three times. Now, I'm no expert, but they say it's three times and you're done. What that means is once you go down three times, you don't come back up. My dad, with everything he had the third time down, he threw Ken as hard as he could. And praise the Lord, the inner tube was close enough and Ken grabbed a hold, but Dad was going down. What we didn't know was that... So I'm just going to tell you the way that I know that it is, and we can kind of go back from there. An angel came out of the group of people that were watching this event in the form of a young man. He swam out, he dove down, he brought my dad back, hauled him to shore, and as my uncle, who is an anesthesiologist, is beating the tar out of his chest, getting the water out of his lungs, this angel disappeared. In a matter of moments when it happened, everybody's going, my dad's there, uncle's working on him, okay, we can't do anything about that. Well, we want to thank this young man. Where is he? And everybody's going, what are you talking about? Where is the young man that was here? And said, we don't know what you're talking about. There was no young man. I saw him. I saw an angel. My wife was riding with her sister and two very small babies in the back seat of the car. They were headed from Baker to LeGrand for a doctor's appointment, I assume. Sister was driving a little too fast, came around the corner in the ice and lost control. Spun it around, her around. The river runs right beside. I say river, it's really only a creek, but during the wintertime it flows pretty heavy. I know how, but that car went straight off. A telephone pole was about 2.5 feet off the edge of the bank. They went over the top of that, clear over the top of it. There was a big rock in the river, just happened to be there where they were. They went over the telephone pole, and they lodged between the two of them. Water is starting to flood the car. They get the kids out. All is fine. They end up calling her dad and I, we went to try to get them. What we discovered was there is no physical way for that car to have made it from the roadside across the top of that and then hit that rock. Could not happen. There is no question in my mind that God sent an angel. They should have clipped the top of that telephone pole and rolled that car over, and they would have been head down in that freezing cold water. I know, without a doubt, that God sent an angel. My nephew and I were riding on top of a hay truck. We just picked up hay. Her dad drove a, what was that thing? It was a Dodge, wasn't it? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It had a flatbed on it, four-wheel drive, set it pretty high. But the flatbed then set pretty high. Well, we would stack that thing with four bales high. It was up there. Weighed too much. Ryan and I climbed up on top because we didn't climb in a cab because we did all the work and we're hot and sweaty and sticky and have hay all over you and you don't want to sit in the cab of a truck. Driving across the field, there was a small bridge. As we came to the bridge, we got about halfway and that bridge collapsed. Now, the truck should have rolled over. Ryan and I were on top. I, being the smarter older one, I bailed. Ryan stayed up on top. How he stayed up there, only God knows. John, feeling the bridge collapse underneath him, he slammed his foot to the pedal as hard as he could. When he hit the other side of that bridge, that thing popped. Ryan was like 6 feet in the air, hanging onto two bales, a hay type thing. God was there. God protected them. And just one more. Janelle and I and Andrew had gone on a vacation. We'd gone to see my daughter in Indiana and the family. We're coming back. We're heading to Yellowstone. It's reasonably late in the evening. We're climbing on top of the mountain. We had a Jetta, little Jetta car, had a rack on the back of it to carry Andrew's wheelchair. It's all strapped in, everything was covered. Come along the top, and I do not, to this moment, know why I swerved. They always say if you see a deer, see a cat, see a dog, do not swerve. You swerve and you end up in the ditch, you roll the things over. I swerved with everything that I had in me. Took that wheel as hard as it would. That Jetta's a front-wheel drive. The back end of that car came around. It came back around. It came back around. And we pulled over. The reason I swerved is because I saw a glimmer. Now, what's a glimmer? I didn't know. I saw something in front of me. As we went by, Janelle says it was kind of like slow motion thing going on. And there is this massive head of a buffalo. If we would have hit that buffalo, I don't know, I was going in excess of the speed limit, I will admit. If we would have hit that buffalo, we would not be here today. Jetta does not sit very high. You take the legs out of a buffalo and it rolls right over and comes right through the windshield. There is no question in my mind that God made me grab that wheel and swerve. The car was never out of control. It slid, I had it. It slid, I had it. It slid, I had it. I have to tell you the truth, though. Very, very shortly after I got it straightened around, we came around a corner and there was a wide spot and I pulled over because I could not go any farther. And I was afraid, well, I won't, anyway. There's other things that I was afraid may have happened when I was driving. One of the other giants in our life was the birth of Andrew. But we overcame the giant. These are mighty acts of God, life-preserving, life-changing events, defeated giants. Today, defeat a giant by allowing God to take control. And then, praise God. And Cody, if you would play that music for me. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father, thank you for the encouragement that we can get from your word, that the giants in front of us are nothing to you. So Lord, help us to trust you. And then when we see the giants fall, to praise you for your mighty hand in our life. Father, continue to guide and bless us. Give us a desire in our heart to, above all things, to get to know you, to open our hearts to you, to open our minds to you, to give you everything that we are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.